disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I should say thank you for the welcome and invitation. And we do pray for you at Baldock and seek the Lord's blessing upon you. And it's a privilege for me to come amongst you again, see some new faces and old ones alike. But let us turn then and consider together this passage here, this section of John's Gospel, which speaks here of the Lord and Thomas. Now, some of us know what it's like when we hear others being judged. Maybe sometimes we judge people. And you have to be very careful, don't you? You should be very careful how you judge others. And the scriptures are very plain that we are to be careful how we use our tongues and what we say. And perhaps many people have said a lot about Thomas, and much of it perhaps unfair, but of course the Lord here in this verse was gently remonstrating with Thomas. He was doing that. He said, be not faithless, but believing. So there is a gentle remonstration with Thomas here, but we can be too harsh on Thomas. And every one of the Lord's people are very precious to him. Every one of them means a great deal to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was very much the case with the disciples. You remember how it says at the beginning of John 13, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. So every one of his disciples were very special and precious to him. And yet, of course, they made mistakes, and Thomas was one of them here. But we can judge men too harshly for one mistake. I think it was Shakespeare that said, the evil that men do lives after them, but the good is oft interred with their bones. We can be too harsh in our judgment of people. So I want to think this morning of Thomas. Calvin said he was obstinate and proud and contemptuous. Is that the whole picture, I wonder? Now, before we doubt Calvin, great reformer, but I think that's a bit harsh. Obstinate? Well, we can all be obstinate and proud at times. Maybe this week we have to look back and say, well, I did get a bit frustrated with that one or the other person. I became obstinate. Do we have to make that confession this morning? It's so simple, isn't it, for us to stumble into these sins. But is that the whole picture about Thomas? Is that what he was really like all the time? Well, I want to show you a few things from the scripture this morning about Thomas. The first thing is Thomas's constancy. Thomas's constancy. And we see this back in John chapter 11. And you remember the Gospel of John has the I am sayings, the seven I am sayings of the Lord Jesus. One of them we find in John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. But it also has the seven signs, the seven miracles. And the last miracle was the raising of Lazarus from the dead in John 11. But you remember the account here, because we see something about Thomas if we just read from verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, that is Lazarus, speaking of his, they thought he was talking of rest. If he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Well, why did he say this? It's almost as though Thomas's character was negative, slightly cynical, and he always looked on the dark side of what could happen. But of course, the danger was very real. If the Lord Jesus went back into Judea towards Jerusalem, then his life would be under threat. He'd already been threatened with stoning. And yet Thomas is the only disciple who says, let us go. Let us go with the Lord. You know something here I want you to notice? His constancy, in the sense that he did not want to depart from his master. He could not bear the thought of being separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know whether that's the case with any of us here this morning. Could you say, well, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Could you imagine life without Christ, without the gospel? What a dark place this world would be, wouldn't it? Without a hope of heaven and of glory and of rest. But to be without Christ. What did the Apostle Paul say? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That was Thomas's spirit, wasn't it? He said, let us go, that we may die. Come what may, I will not leave my Lord. What a spirit and attitude to have. The other disciples, they were afraid. And sometimes we can be driven by fear, even as the Lord's disciples. We can say, well, I can't do this for the Lord, and I can't do that. Because it's just not me, we say. Really underneath us, there is a great fear in our heart. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be ashamed. We don't want to stand up for the Lord or be counted for him. And so we back off and we say, well, it's not really my personality to do something like that. Or perhaps it's not the right time. Thomas wasn't like that, was he? He may have just blurted it out. He may have said it thoughtlessly. That's true. He could have done. I mean, Peter also said thoughtless things. And we all say thoughtless things at times. But underneath this statement, let us go, is surely a deep affection for his master. Do we have that affection this morning? Would we be prepared to even go, even to suffer, to be humiliated for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not easy being a preacher. It's humbling. There is a sense in which we take up our cross as every believer, and we bear the shame, the ridicule, the offense of the cross. Thomas then was not afraid, was he, in this sense? As long as he was with his master, then he was happy. Well, this morning, Lazarus had died. Notice Jesus loved Lazarus so much. And perhaps Thomas loved Lazarus. No doubt he knew him quite well. And he wanted to go. And in a sense, there was a pining in his heart. Well, if Lazarus is dead, I also want to die, because to die means to be free of all the sorrows and troubles of life, but to be with the Lord forever. And as believers at times, we can have that in our heart, that spirit, when one of the Lord's people is taken, and we have that sense that, well, I just want to go as well. We have a bright faith. Perhaps it's born though out of a sense of self-pity sometimes. I just want to fly away and be at rest. But we do yearn to go home and to be with the Lord. And Thomas did too. It wasn't just that he wanted to get it over and done with, as it were, and suffer whatever may come, whatever will be, will be. It wasn't that spirit. He wanted to serve his master and to be with him at the end. Now, are you ready to die this morning? Thomas said he was ready to die. Now let's take it that he was being sincere. And the question is this morning, are we ready for eternity? How eager, an old writer said, we should be to die. How do we speak of death but as undressing and going to bed? You know, every time we rise up in the morning, it's almost like a resurrection, isn't it? We lie down. Yes, we don't die, but we slumber. And as we read in the psalm, the Lord watches over us as we slumber and sleep. But do we picture death like that? Matthew Henry said this, the more of our friends are translated hence, the fewer cords we have to bind us on this earth, and the more to draw our hearts heavenwards. So when a loved one is carried home, our hearts go after them. Let us go, that we may die with him. Let us all go. Thomas was ready. The other disciples were more reticent. But the second thing we can notice, not only his constancy, but his courage. And we see this very simply in John 14. And you remember, all the disciples had different characters, different personalities. And every one of God's children is created in his image, given a particular personality. And sometimes that personality comes out on the pages of scripture. And of course, it reminds us that the church is going to be made up of all kinds of people, from every kindred, every nation, every tongue, all characters, all languages, all nations added into the kingdom. And this is the wonderful thing, as we observe in the Gospels, the way the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with his disciples. It was the most amazing example of his tenderness towards all these different characters that he had in his band that he had chosen. But one day, no matter what our personality, we will be with him in that great company that no man can number. There is one church, one body. And when we come into fellowship in a local church, we discover we've all got those different ideas and attitudes and knowledge and background. But we're united together in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a wonderful thing to be in a local church. In a sense, it gives us a glimpse of what it was like to be amongst the disciples, that they had one Lord. And this is why I want you to think about Thomas's Lord this morning, and think about not just Thomas, but how the Lord dealt with him. Now, some people are like lambs. Their faith is small and they are weak, and they need a great deal of encouragement and a great deal of help. They need gentle handling. Others are stronger in the faith. In Romans 15, the apostle says, but we ought to are strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. And the Lord then, in John 14, he thinks about his disciples. He shows his love for them. Remember what he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. What a wonderful message, wasn't it? He was about to go away. He was about to suffer the agonies of the cross. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, I'm sure they did remember those words. Of course they did. John recorded them here. But how often we do get ourselves in trouble, and we forget that the Lord cares for us, and he has a purpose and a plan for all of his people. And so here we notice then, Thomas speaks up in verse 5. Jesus had said, whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, if somebody asked you the way to heaven, I wonder what you would say. Perhaps you would say, well, Christ is the way to heaven. But people do have deep questions. And maybe in your heart this morning, there are questions that you need answering. You feel that you are bereft, you're confused, you're not sure about something. A disappointment has come in your life, or some difficulty, and you are left with that deep sense of loneliness, thinking that you're the only one who doesn't understand. Now, I want you to notice that Thomas was one who had courage to ask the Lord difficult questions. Now, of course, how do we ask the Lord questions today? Well, we come to him in prayer, don't we? We have that wonderful access unto the Lord Jesus Christ through that mercy seat. You remember in the Old Testament, the way into the holy place was barred. There was the great veil in front of the mercy seat. And then there was the outer court, and that had another veil around the whole court. And none but the priest could go in. But now that way is opened up, isn't it? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. As he suffered on the cross, the temple curtain was torn from the top down to the bottom, and that way was opened. And so when we have a question, when we have a burden on our heart, we don't need to pray through any saint or through anyone, but come simply in the name of Jesus. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I shall do it. You little ones and young people, prayer is the way to get answers, and obviously reading the scriptures. But Thomas asks this awkward question, and I know teachers say that there's no such thing as an awkward question, but there was a sense in the room, no doubt, when Thomas said this, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" There must have been a sense of relief. And I've known situations where perhaps I've not had the courage to ask a question, but somebody else has. And I've been relieved. And the Lord was ready, wasn't he, to answer Thomas. He wanted to understand. Now, you could say perhaps he was doubting, and many of our questions that we come to the Lord are because of our doubts. We have concerns or we're unsure of something. But here you notice the Lord was willing to answer this question. Immediately, the Lord said, "I am the way." And there's another one of those I ams. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have the question this morning, how can I get to heaven? What is the way? You're not sure. Should I go through the teachings of Hinduism or Islam? Or which is the way? Many people will tell you, well, you can come to God through any way you like. Any way. The mountain has many sides, and you can go up any side of the mountain and arrive at the destination, at the summit. But the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us here. He is the only way. That's what he was saying. I am the way, literally, the road, the path. You get to God by following me, by trusting in me, by leaning upon me, by resting on what I have done, or what I will do in this case for Thomas on the cross. And so we see here, don't be afraid to come to the Lord. Whatever the problem, whatever the question, whatever the need, it is by prayer that we can find the answer. And usually the answer is Jesus Christ. Observe him, follow him, learn from him, humble yourself before him, seek him, lean upon him. That's often the answer. I am the way and the truth and the life. But what courage Thomas had. Well, thirdly this morning, notice Thomas's confession here. In John 20, he said, "My Lord and my God." In verse 28. Now, of course, the atmosphere must have changed in the room when Thomas came. He hadn't been there, had he, the week before? And the disciples had told him, "We've seen the Lord." Now, we don't know the reason why Thomas wasn't there. But I think we can pretty much say it was because he was absolutely shattered at the death of his Lord. And that doesn't mean to say that he didn't love his Lord or his disciples, because he just could not face going to be with them that day. And sometimes we can get like that, can't we? We can be overwhelmed with grief or sorrow. Bitterness even can creep into our hearts and resentments can rise up. And we can say, well, I just can't go to the service tonight or today because I'm just not in the right frame of mind. But you know, the scriptures teach us that we're always to meet with the Lord's people. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Always to come. Often the Lord will be there. We will miss much if we don't come and hear the word of God and be with the Lord's people. So most likely Thomas's heart was overwhelmed with all kinds of emotions, all kinds of hurts and sorrow and grief. And yet he missed his Lord. And what a reminder that is to us. Why do we come together? We come to worship God. We come to seek his face, to learn more of Christ, to draw nearer the heart of God through the pages of the scriptures, to rest on the truth. We have much that God has given us as a means of grace. That's what the scriptures are, and that's what the gatherings of the Lord's people are. So we're thankful today we can gather together. But Thomas, he couldn't bring himself, could he, to believe that the Lord was alive. I'm not going to believe unless I can see the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. Now we have to remember that Thomas had perhaps witnessed the Lord being flogged and a crown of thorns placed on his head, blood streaming forth. And then, if he didn't actually see the crucifixion, he would have seen many who had been crucified before, because there were many crucifixions at this time. In his mind's eye, he would have thought to himself, well, Christ's corpse would be so bloodstained and crumpled and broken. It's just simply impossible that he could be alive. And you know, I think if any of us would have seen a crucified corpse who had suffered the flogging that often brings about death, even before the crucifixion, we would have struggled to believe. And I wonder this morning, what is the obstacle in your heart and in your life that is stopping you from believing? Maybe it's some disappointment. And you've gradually, little by little, become very disillusioned. And you're heartbroken, really, that things haven't worked out. You thought that the Lord was working in your heart. You thought that you knew the Lord. You thought that you had a foundation upon which your faith was built. And yet something has happened which has made it crumble away. Or it's about to. You feel it moving, as it were, that foundation from under you. And you feel that those confident thoughts that you had in the past, you can no longer rely upon. And you wonder where things are going to end up. You're anxious. You know that your soul needs a saviour. And I want you to think of Thomas and his Lord. You see, if Thomas was left to himself, he would have gone on in unbelief, wouldn't he? Maybe if the Lord hadn't come that week that he was there, oh, the disappointment. Oh, the overwhelming disillusionment that would have flooded into his heart. It's all a fake. It's all made up. And no, his Lord came. And that tells you much about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not give up hope. Keep seeking him. Whatever your trouble this morning, whatever your fear, whatever your grief, the Lord is able to come to you. And I want you to notice and remember that the Lord knew exactly what Thomas had said. And this is why Thomas believed him so quickly. Obviously, he saw him physically. He knew it was the Lord, even though there was a glory about him. Yet the Lord said to him exactly what Thomas had said. Notice he doesn't mention the Lord's feet. He says only his hands and his side. And so Jesus says in verse 27, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas, all along, I've been with you. I've known exactly how you've been feeling. The hurt, the sorrow, the anguish of your heart. I wonder if we've ever come to that point in our lives where we suddenly realize the Lord has known all along about all of our troubles. He's known everything we're going through. All down to the very last detail. And we're actually astonished sometimes by what the Lord does for us. Utterly amazed. And our faith revives. Faith is, as it were, rekindled into a flame of love and adoration. Have you known a time like that in your life? You can look back and you can say, yes, the Lord was with me, even in the midst of the difficulty and the heartbreak and the sorrow. But Thomas, he did love his Lord. And you know, we're all miracles of grace. It's not about our frailties, which are many. It's about his greatness. It's about his compassion. It's about his grace to us. That's what the gospel is all about. Thomas without his Lord was just a wreck. But notice, he was transformed by the presence of his Master. Well, time has gone this morning. He was persuaded of his deity. My Lord and my God. Only God could raise from the dead. Only God can read the hearts of men. Only God can sacrifice. a sufficient sacrifice for all of our sins. And Thomas's faith embraced that wonderful truth that Jesus is the Son of God, worthy of worship, higher than the angels. We shall say with him, if we believe, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He was persuaded then that he was God, that he was persuaded that he was his Lord. He owned him, my Lord and my God. Can you say that this morning? Your faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust in the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. My Lord and my God. Well, there's much more we could say, but time doesn't permit us this morning. He's risen. He's still the Lord and God of all of his people. And he is still able to understand all their doubts and to cause them to be dispersed and replaced with faith and hope and joy. Well, may the Lord bless his word to us and